This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But there are so many people who say his name is Abdul Shams. They have different names for him. When people ask, what's his real name then, if it's kunya? And so you see many narrations, many people saying this and many people saying that. Others have mentioned his name is not Abdurrahman. Of course, it's from Ad-Daws, the tribe of Ad-Daws. Ad-Daws is in Yemen, the area in the southern Arabian Peninsula. Now, why didn't know him, his name? So why are a lot of people ignorant about his name? Because most people know him as Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah. Then somebody asks, what's his real name? Like, what's it, not his kunya? What is his name, his given name? Everyone calls him Abu Hurairah. His name is almost lost. And so the stronger opinion is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr. But you see that even amongst the companions, there are many companions who actually didn't know his name. And there are many who came later on, who lived during his time, and they didn't know his name. And they didn't know his name. Why? Because everyone calls him Abu Hurairah. What is Abu Hurairah? Hurairah is a little kitten, a kitten. Why? Because when he was young, he said he found a kitten on his, it was on a tree, and he was taking care of, he was a shepherd taking care of sheep, and so he found this cat and he took it with him, and he always had it with him, and one time it came out of his sleeve. People didn't know he had it with him, but it was inside his body, and it came out of his sleeve. This little kitten comes out of his sleeve, and they said, Abu Hurairah. Like, oh, father, you must be the father of the kitten. You mean the father of a kitten. And because he always had that, after this incident, he was known as Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah. So when he was a youngster, had a cat coming out of his, and people see that, hey, the little kitten just came out of your sleeve. And that name stuck until of course the day he passed away. And so we know him as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The birth name, and Allah knows best, is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. So notice that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. Because there are many times in which he would narrate and relate something, and he might not say, I heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the companions, even if they don't mention that they heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, it's still an authentic hadith. But because they always hear from other companions, and if they take from someone who's not a companion, that person is always trustworthy. That person is also considered very, very trustworthy. And he was amongst those who sometimes, he had very few hadith that he would take from his son-in-law. Anybody know who he had a very famous son-in-law? Anyone know? It was Sayyid al-Tabi'in, Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Sa'id ibn Musayyib. And so this one, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said, I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I forbid you, stay away from it. اجْتَنِبُوهُ. Stay far away from it. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. And whatever I order you to do, then فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Do as much of it as you can. Do of it as much as you can. فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ. Do of it as much as you're able to. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Because فَإِنَّمَا, meaning this is the reason. The only reason, and this is innama, is ayat al-hasr, only. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Those who were before you, They were destroyed because of kathratu masailihim, because of them, their frequent questioning, واختلافهم على أنبيائهم, and they're differing with their prophets. Right, their prophets, the prophets that sent to them, tell them to do something, they do something different, and the difference. And so they're differing with their prophets. So Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, notice Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr specifically is mentioned here. He mentions this because a lot of people don't know his name. That's why Al-Imam An-Nawawi, he says, "An Abi Huraira," who's Abu Huraira? His name is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr. And the Prophet, and so notice that Abdurrahman and his father, Sakhr. What is Sakhr? Sakhr, what is it? It's a boulder, big rock, boulder rock. The Arabs used to name their sons with names that were very, very vicious, right? Like, forget about right now, you know how, who's called the rock right now? Is there a rock? Yeah, right? Because he's tough and strong, right? The Arabs, they have many Sakhr, the rock. They had before the rock right now, they had the rock before. So he probably copied or imitated, Allah knows best, but Sakhr is rock. The rock is hard because they used to live in a society that used to love to, they always were fighting. Right, we always are fighting, and so when you want your son or your son to go and fight, you want him, or you're going to meet a rock. You're facing a rock, right? You don't want a name that sounds a little weak. There's no weakness in it, right? It's like, you don't want a name that's weak. You want a name that's strong, and so that's what they used to. They used to name their sons like Asad, Hamza. These are names for Layth. Like, these are names for like lions, right? And so you, who are you fighting? We're fighting a lion, right? If you name something like, you know, very, very soft, then people are like, this guy, he beat him many times. Like, even psychologically, like, you're fighting a rock, a lion, and like the cougar, like, man, you're going against some tough people. And or this town, look at the men, what's his name? Right? These are all tough names. And so that's what they used to name their children, with very, very tough names because of that. And so the message, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Whatever I tell you to stay away from, whatever I prevent you or prohibit you from, then stay away from it as far as you can. وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ. So who is this? The Prophet ﷺ is saying this. He says, if I tell you to stay away from it, then stay away from it, right? Without any condition whatsoever here. There's no condition. So you stay away from it. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. And if I order you to do something, then do of it as much as you can. So here, the word مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ, I, because the Prophet ﷺ is in a higher position. He says, so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders and prohibits, some people may say, well, it's below the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. No, in terms of its legislation, it's the same. If Allah says don't do, and the Prophet says don't do, they're all the same. They're all the same. Because all of it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the Messenger of Allah brings you, then of course you do it. But whatever he prohibits you from doing, then stay away from it. And so the order of Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in terms of their legislation and strength and legislation, are the same. Some people say one is below the other. No, because they're all from Allah. And that's why there will be a people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La afriyanna ahadukum." Let me not find any one of you. Don't let me find any one of you. Sitting ala arikati, he's sitting on his lounge chair or his lounging, saying, whatever Allah tells me to do, I will do. Whatever Allah prohibits, then I will stay away from. Give me that. Give me the book of Allah. So you might say, wait, is there something wrong with that statement? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, don't? Don't be that, this person. The reason is because, what is this person saying? Saying, Allah, the Messenger of Allah is telling us that there will come a time in which people will say, I will follow the Quran, and then but I won't follow the Sunnah. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ takes, you know, there could be, you know, it could be weak, it could be this, I'm going to reject it. So he said, do not let me find one of you sitting on his couch. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say sitting on his couch, leaning on his couch? Because these are the people of the dunya. What do you mean by the people of the dunya? Why? Is this on? That's off. How about the other one? Is everything off? Can you check? Because is everything off? No. Turn up. Yeah, just that. Just one. There's only one. Just lower the volume a little bit. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said there will come a time where you will find somebody, people like this, right? And so who are these people? These are people who reject the Sunnah. But they don't say, I reject the Sunnah. What do they say? No, we follow the Quran. But, you know, just if you want to tell, show me what Allah says, that's it. But then they reject the Sunnah. You know why they reject the Sunnah? Because they are the people of the dunya. Don't let me find you sitting on your couch, meaning you're reclining, enjoying the dunya, the rich and wealthy and so forth. Don't let me find you saying that you're following the Quran and then rejecting the Sunnah. Why? Because these people, they want to say that they follow the Quran. Why? So they can interpret the Quran the way that they want. So they can interpret the Quran according to their desires. Because the Sunnah clarifies what's in the Quran. The Sunnah clarifies what's in the Quran. Anything that is mentioned in like, for example, the five daily prayers, right? The five daily prayers. If someone were to say, okay, I have to pray, but who told me, who said you have to pray five times a day? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no, forget about that. Give me a verse in the Quran that I have to pray five times a day. What are you going to find? Can you give me a verse? No. How many prayers are you going to be praying? How many rak'ahs are you going to be praying? Right? So some people who don't want to pray, they will come. I'm not joking. There will come people who will say, I will only follow the Quran. Because I'm not going to follow Sunnah. So they say, how do I pray? Pray just like the Christians. Sunday. No, anytime you want to come down, just make dua. Go down on your knees. How do you pray? How do you make sujood? How do you make ruku'? How? Is there specific ways to do it? Bow down. How do I bow down? The Christians, they bow down, right? So they can interpret the Quran according to their desires to the point where they don't even have to pray. The five daily prayers with the ruku and sujood and all of the arkan and so forth, they can just say, we'll pray. And just like the Christians pray, right? Just like the Christians pray. Or just like how, you know, the Buddhists, they pray. Just pray. How? What time? When? There's nothing specific in the Quran. So if they say they follow the Quran, it's because they don't want to follow Islam. They want to follow their desires. So there will come a people who will reject the Quran, reject the Sunnah. And in fact, they are rejecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the shahada, it consists of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Right? Not just La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. because you follow the Quran and Sunnah, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So wa ma nahaytukum, whatever I prohibit you from, fajtanibuhu, stay away from it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, wa ma nahaytukum anhu fajtanibu. This is called jumla shartiyah, conditional. Whatever I forbid you from, stay away from it. Ijtinab is from staying, or, you know, that's why you call a person in a state of major impurity, junub, al-janaba, right? Because you stay away from prayer and staying away from reading the Quran and so forth when you're in state of janaba, right? And so that's why it's a state in which you stay away from some acts of ritual acts of worship. So fajtanibuhu means to stay away from it, stay far away from it. So that's the jumla ashartiyya, that's the conditional. Ashart is jawab ashart. Here is fajtanibu. When I tell you to stay away from something, then stay away from it, stay far away from it. When I say haram, stay away from it. When I say don't do it, stay away from it. Don't go close to it. Fajtanibuhu, stay away from it. And so, meaning, you know, the word ijtanibu from the word janib. Janib is what? Janib is side. So what does that mean? Like, where does it come from? It comes from, if I tell you to stay away from something, then you put that aside. You put that one side and you stay one side. Don't stay in the same. Don't stay where that is. Put it on the side. Janib is your side. So fajtanibuhu, put it aside. That's where, linguistically, that's where it comes from. Like, put it aside. When stay away from it, that's what it means. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ, and whatever I order you to do, فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ, do of it, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, do of it as much as you can, or whatever you're able to. So here you have jumla shawqiyya also. Whatever I tell you to do, then do it, but do it only, do as much of it as you can. May do it if you can, because there are some situations, sometimes you can't do it. Be staying away, not doing something, the default is that you don't do something, right? Because right now, I'm not doing a lot of things. And it's not difficult for me. It's not difficult for you to not to do something. You know, that's the default. Like, do I need to tell you what I'm not doing? I'm not doing a lot of things right now. So not doing something is, you're not doing anything. And so it's easy. Meaning, what do I mean by easy? Because it's the default. The default is that you don't do anything. But to do something, if I tell you to do something, now there are some people who can do it and some people who can't do it. Right? There are some people who can and some people who can't. If I say, for example, lift this table. Some people, most of us will be able to, but there are some old people, they can't lift this table. They can't move this table. Right? They're not able to do it. But to stay away from something, if I say, for example, don't do something, no, don't eat. Like, all of you can stay away from eating right now, right? Because it's the default. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to not do something, you don't have to make any movements. You just stay where you are and do that. And then it's it. And so that's why it's the default. وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. So stay away from it. I mean, don't go closer. You just keep it on the side. Don't go to it. If I say don't do it. But if I tell you to do something, some people will be able to do it. Some people won't be able to do it. But if you're able to do it, then do it as much as you can. And if you can't do it, then no matter what I do, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. Like, if you don't have the strength, or if you don't know how to drive, I tell you, go park my car. Like, I'm telling you to go park my car. But there are some people who never drove before, don't have a license. They don't know how to drive. right? But if I say, don't drive, just sit there. Everyone can do that. It doesn't matter. You're young or old. You know how to drive, but you don't know how to drive. When I say don't drive, everyone can do it. Or everyone can, when I tell you not to do something. So that's why that's the default. And that's why there's no condition connected to it. There's no condition connected to it. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ مِنْهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said after that, فَإِنَّمَا, what does إِنَّمَا mean? Inna is tawkeed. What is tawkeed? Tawkeed is for emphasis. Ma here is known as ismu mawsool. Fa innama, why? What is fa inna? Indeed, ma here is another meaning. Has another meaning. Inna alladhi. Inna, why? Because we know that afterwards, after inna, there's, in the Arabic language, when you say ma, it can mean no, it can mean that which, can mean what, and so forth, depending on the sentence structure and the context. فَإِنَّمَا, indeed. So you can say innama means it's only that, or it can also mean فَإِنَّمَا, indeed, that which. فَإِنَّ, in الَّذِي, that which destroyed those before you. Destroyed those before you. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. What is it? كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. The thing that which destroyed them is them asking frequent questions. But you might say, it's good to ask questions, but that's not just asking questions. What kind of questions are this? These two things are related. They question not because they don't know or want to know. They keep on asking because they don't want to do what they're told to do. They don't do what they're told to do. So they keep on asking. So that when they're asked to do something, or they're asked to stay away from something, they don't have to do it. Why? Just like your kid and your child. When you tell him to clean the room and he doesn't want to clean the room, what does he say? That's just, oh, he'll say something like, why do I have to clean the room, mommy? Like, why doesn't my sister clean the room? She's a girl. She should be cleaning my room. Maybe if he doesn't want to do it, or something like that, right? He'll say something. Why? Because he doesn't want to do it. So yeah, why? Why do I have to do it? Why do I have to do it? Can I do it tomorrow? Like, you ask questions because you don't want to do it. And you keep on asking, not because you don't know, well, how do I clean my room? Where's the vacuum? No. You're asking because you don't want to do it. So some people ask questions because they don't want to do it. Just like when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and on many occasions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, tells us the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam with Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us even the rulings, of what some of the things that Allah made difficult for them because they kept on asking. And that's why every time they ask, it became more difficult. It became more difficult because it's a punishment for them. Like, you want to do it to why can't I just eat this and eat that? Okay, then don't eat it. Right? You don't want why, for example, they ask, well, clean, how do I clean myself? Like, well, what if it doesn't come off? What if it doesn't come off? What if they're still staying? Yeah, when they're told to clean, just clean it off. So how do I clean it off? Ya Allah, subhanAllah. How do you normally clean? Just clean it up. Do I have to use water? Yes, of course you use water, right? Like they know, but they still ask, right? Or do I have to use soap? Nobody said soap, right? Okay, then you have to use soap. Now soap is because, but sometimes when you wash with soap, it still doesn't come off. So what do I do then? We'll cut it off. Cut it off. And then, you know, so that's why whenever there's najasa, because of their questioning, the prophets told them to clean. They just are so obstinate, like so annoying, right, to the prophets. And it's like an annoying child. They're so annoying. They keep on asking questions to the point where if there is najasa on their clothing, for us, how do we wash? We just wash. Clean. We don't have to, we just hold water. As long as the remnants are gone, it's fine. Do you know for them, they have to cut it off. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, we'd have to throw so much underwear away. Like, what are you going to do with clothing? What are you going to do? Anytime you have najasa on you, you have to throw it away? Or you have to cut it and patch it? Ya Allah, that's very, very difficult. How difficult do you think that is? Imagine you just buy a new nice jacket. You pick up your child, and then your child urinates on your jacket. What are you going to do? You can't wash it. You have to cut it. If you cut it, it's messed up. You won't be able to wear it anymore. These are some of the questions that they kept on asking. And every time they would ask, it would be more difficult for them. It would become more difficult for them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. And so Allah destroys people. Allah will destroy people because of their differing with their prophets, because of them not wanting to follow. And that's why the Prophet said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ إِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. If I tell you to stay away from it, just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Don't ask this and that unless, you know, you're in doubt. And when you ask because you want to know, don't ask any more details. If you don't have to, just stay away from it, right? But if I order you to do something, just do it as much as you can. If you can, just do it. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he ordered the people, Ya Yuhannas, O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to make hajj, fahujju. So make hajj. So what did one of the companions say? This is, said, O Messenger of Allah, every year? Ya Allah. He said, if I would have said every year, then it would be every year. And you would not be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. So if I tell you to do something, if I tell you don't do it, stay away from it. But if I tell you to do something, do it as much as you can. Okay, make hajj. All people make hajj. Okay, make hajj. That's it. That's it. Hajj. One time, that's over. Finish. I made hajj, alhamdulillah. Did I make hajj? I made hajj. Allah ordered us to make hajj. I made hajj, alhamdulillah. Now, if you ask more questions, how many times? What if I made, you know, do I make hajj every year, every 5 years? And you keep on asking, okay, then maybe Allah will say, okay, every year then. You will not be able to do it every year. Can you make it every year, especially now? What do you think? What's going to happen in Mecca if everybody made every year? Ya Allah. How many people would be able to go if you had to go every year? Right? But you go if you're able to, just one time. And that's it. After that, you don't have to do it anymore. And so, it's a lesson for us to, if you want to ask questions, also, it's okay to ask questions. But don't ask questions for the purpose of anything except to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be sincere. Because sometimes some people ask questions because they want to show off. Or they want to object. They'll ask the question, And they'll ask a question that is very, very difficult. They know the answer to already, right? But they want to show off that they know. So they ask the detailed questions relating to that. And sometimes it confuses people, right? Because maybe the people have not studied that to that level, and maybe the teacher is not ready to speak about that yet. And so when you're asking questions, it's always good to ask questions. Even if the question is embarrassing, it's mandatory to ask. Because if you don't ask, then you will remain ignorant, and you might do something that is contradictory to the orders of Allah and His Messenger. And that's why you ask. And it's okay to ask. But to ask with the intention of not following, with the intention of rejecting it, then that's something that was prohibited, of course, some of the scholars have mentioned that's during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the ruling can change at that moment. The ruling can change. If you keep on asking questions, you're going to make it difficult for everyone else in the ummah that comes after you, because of you, right? Because after revelation, of course, the rules have already been set. Everything's been settled. Everything's, you know, set. It doesn't change because we don't have any revelation anymore. So we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ." Who are those before you? Min qablikum. It can mean anyone before. But what is meant here? Some of the scholars have said what's meant here is, of course, the Yahud and the Nasara, the Christians, and everyone else, right? But when the Prophet ﷺ says, "Alladhina min qablikum," to the companions, who are the ones, who are they thinking about? Like, who are their contemporaries? Like, sort of like living at that time. Of course, the people of Ad, are they thinking about those people? No, they're destroyed. Right? Are they thinking about the people of Nuh? No, they're not thinking about them, because there aren't any right now. Everyone, you know, they're all destroyed. All the people before were destroyed. The people of Nuh, they're gone. Right? Who? Of course, who are their contemporaries at that time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina? There were Christians and Jews. Right? There are Christians and Jews, and that's what the companions are thinking about. And so when he says, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ, the people who are destroyed before you because of their frequent question. Who are the Jews and the Nasara? Who are they descendants of? Bani Israel. Right? Because Prophet Musa was sent to Bani Israel, to Fir'aun and Bani Israel. Right, he was from Bani Israel, sent to Fir'aun, but he was from Bani Israel. Prophet Isa, who was he sent to? Bani Israel. Was he sent to anyone else? No, because every prophet was sent to their own people only. And so, who are the people, who are the contemporaries of them, meaning they have in their minds, when you say those before you, it's the Jews and the Christians. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتِ, and the chaste amongst the women, amongst their women, who have been given the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, those who came before you. And so, who are the people who are mentioned here that Allah destroyed? It was the Yahud and Ansara, and Allah subhanahu knows best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And of course, the worst, of course, are the Yahud. They are the ones who used to ask, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them, right? How did Allah destroy them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some of them, turned them to pigs and monkeys. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did He destroy some of them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a lightning bolt towards them, and then He actually brought them back to life also. And they still, la ilaha illallah, they died, they came back to life, right? Allah told them because of their worshipping of the ijl, of the calf, right? So when they worship with the calf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them and brought them back to life, and they still reverted back to their ways, to asking questions, to doubting, to making making things difficult for the prophets and messengers. And they used to kill prophets and messengers whom Allah sent to them. They would try to kill them, amongst them, of course, as they tried to kill Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Right, and they tried to kill many other prophets. And of course, who are the prophets? The prophets are the best of people sent to guide you. And so when you're killing a prophet, that's the worst crime that you can commit. Meaning, when I say crime, that means, between the creation of Allah. We're not about shirk, that's a different matter, right? That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping others besides Allah. But to kill who? To kill not just any person, a prophet. They used to try to kill prophets and messengers, and they would treat them in the worst way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in many stories. Amongst them is Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to slaughter the cow. What did they say? All you have to do is just slaughter any cow. It would have been okay. But no. They said, all the cows look the same. What color? Give us the color. Ya Allah. They have old cows and young cows. Which one? Ya Allah. Okay, fine. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, find one that's not old, one that's not young. La farid wa la bikr. And then they said, what color? Allah gave them, so told them to look for the yellow cow. I mean, this golden cow, right? And they could have slaughtered any cow and it would have been sufficient. But they kept on asking. Then they said, but there's so many different types of cows. What kind of cows? There are cows that work on the field. There are cows that, used for milk. Right? Different kind of cows. What kind of cow? Okay, fine. Give the cow that doesn't have any work. And then of course it became more difficult for them. They could have slaughtered any cow in the field. Any one of them. Just pick and blindly pull a cow and slaughter, that's it. But they kept on asking. Allah kept on making it more difficult. And they could barely find the cow that, because of what they could barely find one. They finally found a cow that fit the description. But who made up those descriptions? Or who put those conditions? They did. They kept on asking. And that's why that's a characteristic that's not good, to be annoying, especially with your parents. And sometimes, sometimes some spouses do that to each other also. Right? Some spouses do that to each other also. Sometimes the husband does that because he doesn't want to do something. Sometimes the wife doesn't want to do something and she'll do that. And he starts asking questions. Listen, but why is he asking these questions? He's asking these questions because he doesn't want to do it. So, like if the wife or the husband or the wife tells him to, like, hey, can you mow the lawn? You want me to do it this week or next week? It's like, just mow the lawn next week. And they go, do it right now. She would say, right now, right? Right now. Because you could have had a whole week. But we said, this week or next week. No, I want it right now. Like, if you didn't say anything, maybe, this whole week, you can say, when I have time, inshallah, right now I'm busy. And then because you're saying this week or next week, and then it's like, do you want me to use a lawnmower? Or do you want me to use, ya Allah. But we don't have a lawn. We have to borrow over there. Like, just said, mow. I don't care how the lawn gets mowed. you worry about that, right? And then you say, okay, what? Okay, get the lawnmower then. No, but then I have to go to the, to my in-laws to get one. Or your father to get it from him, right? Okay, yeah, Allah. I could have just now. If you didn't say anything, she wouldn't care. Just get the mower. You have the little weed whacker. Like, now you can't use the weed whacker. Right? And so this also happens with children who don't want to listen, and sometimes husbands and sometimes the wife. And so this is what? Try to stay away from it, because it's one of the characteristics of Bani Israel. Bani Israel. And especially, of course, this is the deen.
the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, if you keep on asking and asking and asking, then it's going to be more difficult. It's going to get more difficult. But the thing is, because it's the intention also. It's the intention also. But now it's okay to ask. I mean, you can ask. If you don't know sincerely, you can ask. But I'm talking about the characteristics of not, of asking questions because you don't want to do it. If you're unable to do it, just say, I can't do it. Like, somebody tells you to do it, let's say you can't do it, okay, I'll take care of it. You don't have to mow the lawn, right? You know, I'll take care of it. You can go down to one of the hardware stores, like, hey, brother, you need a job. You got a lot of people standing right there, giving you $50, man. I need my lawn mowed. Can you do it? I said, all right, your wife doesn't care. It's like, hey, she comes out, alhamdulillah. You didn't even break a sweat, right? You didn't break a sweat. If you need to do something, just do it whatever you can. Don't make more of a drama than it is, right? If you can't do it, say you can. Don't try to beat around the bushes by asking questions to stay away from it and stuff like that. Just be open and frank. It's the best way, inshallah. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ No. Notice here, عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ When you use the word عَلَىٰ, that means against. Your اختلاف, you're differing against them. That means you are differing. When you say اختلافهم, when anhum, like different from them, you differed in your opinion, maybe. That's a different matter. But to differ in opposition, right? Because you can differ, you can have a difference of opinion or difference, a differing, but there's no opposition. Right? Like let's say for example, I see it this way and you see it that way, but I don't hate you for it. I don't want to follow you or anything like that, right? So when you say اختلافهم على أنبيائهم, this is like differing against someone. Different, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an example for that is إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلَيْهِ فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلَيْهِ, which means what? Which means he didn't say فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَنْهُ. Like عَلَيْهِ means do whatever the Imam has been made to follow. Whatever he does, just do it and don't contradict him. So اختلافهم على means to contradict them. اختلاف عن means to differ. And so to contradict means also to oppose. A contradiction with an opposition when you use the word على. And so the hadith, what are some of the benefits of the hadith? Number one, it's mandatory to stay away from that which we have been ordered to stay away from, that which we have been prohibited. What do we mean by mandatory? That means you have to stay away from it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger tell you to stay away from it, then what's the ruling? It's haram. The default is that act is haram. That's the default. And then, of course, unless you have, other proofs and evidences. And also another benefit that we get from it is to stay away from that which we have been prohibited from, whether a little bit or a lot of it. There's no questions asked, which means what? If somebody says, don't drink alcohol, right? What does it mean by don't drink alcohol? A little or a lot, just stay all of it, all of it. You don't say, don't drink alcohol, like a little is okay? A little is okay? No. By default, if it's a prohibition, a little of it and a lot of it is all of it. So there's no condition here. No conditional. Prohibition, haram, it's all of it. Right? Unless you have evidences. And of course, even we have evidences that tell you that even a little of it. Ma'askara kathiruhu faqaliluhu haram. That which intoxicates a lot, A lot of it intoxicates. A little of it is haram also, meaning even if it doesn't intoxicate. And that's why I passed by some Muslims one time, and Muslim village, and they were drinking alcohol. They were drinking beer. They were drinking beer, and I was like, brother, I don't think that's not permissible there. And he goes, yeah, I can drink three, and I still don't get drunk. I said, my friend here, one, he's alcohol. Maybe haram for him, one only. Three for me, that my limit is three right there, because I don't get drunk until after three, right? So that's permissible for me, right? Because, you know, nothing happens to me after three. Like, beer is nothing for me. Like, la ilaha illallah. And you know the worst part? This was during Ramadan, and I was like, yeah, Allah. In Muslim village, in Ramadan, sitting down, drinking beer, ya Allah. And then when you tell him, he knows it's haram. Right? He knows it's haram. Like, yeah, you know, like, it's this. I didn't even mention Ramadan, because they're already drinking. Like, but he's trying to, because, you know, like, there are some people there, so he's trying to justify his actions. But, you know, one and two for me is nothing. You know, it doesn't affect me. So is it okay for him? No, I said, no, it's not. Even if it doesn't, you don't get intoxicated with one or two, even a small drop for you is haram. It's haram. It's beer. It's alcohol. It's beer. It's not permissible. And so actually some people, the thing is, some people do believe that. And you know why? Because there are some people who, because they're drinking, they try to justify their actions. And when they try to justify their actions, they say things that are totally, they know it's wrong. And then that justification gets passed around, and everybody says, okay, yeah, it's okay. Just like smoking, everybody says, when you tell somebody, brother, don't smoke, what's the first thing he says? It's makruh. Right? First thing he says is makruh. Like, oh, you know it's makruh, mashallah. You know, qawaid, I mean, ahkam al-khamsa, the ahkam rulings of Islam. Makruh, halal, mubah, mashallah, mandub. You know all of that, see right there. It's makruh, huh? Right? But what's the ruling on that and so forth? So people sometimes try to justify their actions. And then the worst is they try to use the deen to justify their actions. And even though they might know it is not permissible. So whatever is prohibited, then stay away from it. And so there are certain things, inshallah, that are maybe haram, but if it is, if it's in times of necessity, then of course, then it can also be permissible. But like, for example, when somebody is so hungry, they're about to die, and the only thing that is available is a carcass or, you know, a dead animal. And of course, you can't eat meat. So if you don't eat it, then you're going to die. So in this case, should you eat it? Of course, you're allowed to eat it, even though it's haram. But does that mean, hey, whatever I told you, stay away from it? No, because there's another ruling here. And we have other verses of the Qur'an about necessity and so forth. So inshallah, we'll continue with this next week. Continue the hadith. There's so many more rulings that are connected to it. But I would like to end it here, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our life in His obedience. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah. Anyone have any questions? Huh?